first word we read in today's gospel is, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph." The first question is, when who had departed? We often read gospels without thinking of the stuff before and the stuff after. When who had departed? In the verse before, it says, which is not up there, "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." It's the wise men. The wise men departed to their own country after being warned in a dream, and then straight afterwards we see a dream, an angel appearing to Joseph. Now, when we look at these wise men, it appears at first sight that they escaped, that they ran for their lives, that they were scared. But these weren't cowardly men. If you know their story, they travelled hundreds of kilometres, probably on camel or horse. It wasn't a comfortable trip to see the child who would be born king. They then did something really crazy, I think. They stood in front of a king and said, "We're looking for another king." And King Herod, I think all of us in that position would be pretty upset. So they weren't scared. They weren't scared of anything. They stood in front of a crazy king. By the way, in the Bible, he symbolizes the devil. And we know what he did later, killing all the male children below two. So he was nuts, right? They stood in front of him and they asked him about another king. And now it appears that they're running scared in a different direction. The verse straight afterwards, so two consecutive verses. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt.'" Flee means escape. Flee means run. Get out of here. Go. Why? Because Herod had told the wise men to find Jesus and come back and report to him. And then they found Jesus and didn't come back. So he was going crazy. So the Holy Family had to leave to Egypt. So it seems that there's a theme here where there is actually a time to stand in front of kings and talk about Christ. And there are times when we have to turn around and run. Wisdom is in knowing which one's which. How do we actually know when is the time to speak and when is the time to shut up? How do we know when is the time to speak, when is the time to keep silent, when is the time to stay, and when is the time to run? Now, those of you listening to this will say, "Well, this one's easy." It's really, really easy. Because the way these two groups, the wise men and the Holy Family, knew is because they had a divine appearance of an angel or a dream. So it's clear. But when you check other parts of the Bible, I remember the story of St. Paul. St. Paul was preaching to the Jews. And when he was preaching to the Jews, it says here that he was proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, this upset the Jews because they killed the Christ. They killed him. And he went daily preaching in the synagogue that Jesus is the Christ. Then they hatched a plan, predictably, to kill him. What did he do? Did he stay and fight? Did he say, "Stone me, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? He didn't say it at that point. What it says here is that the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. You can imagine this grown man with a beard. One minute he's preaching strongly, the next minute he's hiding in the bottom of the basket, being let down by ropes over a wall. But isn't that St. Paul? Isn't he the one that says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? What does that mean? It means, "I much prefer to die than to live." Then why are you running away? Is he running away? What is this all about? How do we understand this? There is obviously a time to run and a time to stay. How do we know? How do we tune into God's mind and know what we should do next? St. John Chrysostom meditates on this. He says, "St. Paul escaping is not an act of cowardice. He was saving himself for the preaching. Had he been a coward, he would not have gone to Jerusalem. You notice what he did when he escaped from Damascus in the basket. He didn't go and hide in the bush. He actually went to Jerusalem to a bigger group of Jews and preached to them there. He wasn't scared at all. He ran away from one group because there was an opportunity. And we need to talk about opportunity. I think the disciples saw the hole in the wall and the basket as a divine opportunity to actually escape from that point and appear somewhere else. The other thing is, St. Paul was under no illusions of what the Jews were capable of. We know what he witnessed. Was anybody listening to the Synaxarium? He witnessed what happens to people who preach Christ. They pick up big stones and they bash you with them until you're dead. And that's what happened to St. Stephen. St. Paul was there carrying the cloaks, watching them, egging them on. So, what's the clue? How do we know when to act and when to run? A fascinating saint that is not spoken about often is St. Joseph, the legal father of Jesus. And this gospel gives us an opportunity to get some insight into who St. Joseph was. It's, I think, a little bit humorous for me that every time St. Joseph gets some divine intervention or gets spoken to by God, he's sleeping. Every single time. He's fast asleep. He had some crazy stuff happening in his life. This virgin girl who you're looking after is pregnant. Really? Yeah. I think I'll sleep. When things were going bad with Herod, the angel appeared to him, and we noticed the angel appeared to him when he was sleeping. The angel says that he pick up and go to a strange idol-worshipping country, and I'll tell you what to do next. He goes to that country, and a few years later, how does he get the message to come back? He's sleeping. On the way back, he hears that there's this new crazy king in the place of Herod, and he's a little bit afraid. He gets the message to go to Galilee, and he's sleeping. Every single time, he's sleeping. How is it possible to sleep through all of that? How is it possible to have this level of peace in your heart despite everything that's going on around you? I was researching this a little bit, and I came across a statue that Pope Francis, the Catholic Pope, has on his table. He's got the Virgin Mary carrying the baby Jesus, and next to that he's got a statue lying down horizontally of St. Joseph sleeping. And he says, Pope Francis says, Joseph's rest reveals God's will to him. In this moment of rest in the Lord, as we pause from our many daily obligations and activities, God is speaking to us. We want to know God's will. I think the first point is we need to make time for God. We have to make time for God. We make time for everything else in our lives. We make time for work. We make time for study. We make time for family and parents. We make time to drive our kids to cricket and netball. We make time to do all these things, and at the end of the day, Lord, I'm exhausted. Hear me when I pray thankfully, Our Father who art in heaven, and I go to sleep. Really? Is that all it's worth? So we have to make time for God, and while we're making time for God, to help us make proper time for God, we need to remove all distraction. Absolutely everything. And this is basic. This is 101. If the mobile phone scores against a problem, turn it off. If you can't turn it off because you're a beer and your Bible on your phone, put it on flight mode. Everybody knows how to do that. Remove distraction. If the laptop is a problem, shut it down, put it aside. If it's too noisy in the house, find a quieter room. Come to a church. Walk down the street. So we have to make time for God. We have to remove distraction. And then once we've done that and the destruction's gone, we then have to speak to God through prayer, through the idea, through reading the Bible. And then He will tell us when to speak and when to be quiet. The secret is peace. We have to make sure that we get ourselves in a position where all the background noise is gone and we only hear God. And then we notice with Joseph also, what did he do when he got the messages? He acted instantly. It says here, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. This virgin girl is now pregnant. It's from the Lord. Take her as a wife. Sure thing, no problem, done. In your sleep, get up and go to Egypt. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother and by night departed for Egypt. Come back from Egypt, he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. He was a bit concerned about the king, so he got a message, so he did as he was told and turned aside to Galilee. Once we give God this time, once we remove all distraction, once we speak to him and then he speaks to us, we have to be ready to act. And this is very, very important. Pope Francis also says, but like St. Joseph, once we have heard God's voice, we must rise from our slumber, we must get up, and we must act courageously. I'll end with a story, and this is a real experience. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Roselands shopping centre. We had opened the kids' money boxes. So I had a bag, maybe 20 kilos of coins. And there's a counting machine in the Commonwealth Bank, and I was carrying the bag, ready to dump it in the counting machine and distribute the money to all the kids. In front of me, there was a guy with a Woolworths trolley with his wife in the bank. And he had maybe 20 bags of coins. The trolley was full. I thought, he's got more kids than I have. So my curiosity got the better of me, and I said, what's this all about? And he started off in a really weird way. He said, when my son was four, he got cancer in his left eye. Now I'm asking you about the shopping trolley. And he said, yeah, but I'll get to that. I said, okay. He said, they operated on him on Christmas Eve, December the 24th. He's coming. He lost his eye, but 24 years later, he's still with us, and I'm thankful. He said, okay. He said, the hospital staff are magnificent, and the Lord was wonderful to us. I said, okay, when do we get to the point? He said, do you know the house around the corner from Roselands with all the Christmas decorations, lights up the whole street? I said, yeah, the one with the glowing cross right on the top. He said, yeah, that's mine. I made a vow in front of God because of the operation. It wasn't a coincidence that it was Christmas Eve. The Lord was speaking to us. I made a vow to light up the neighborhood and preach Christianity at the same time and collect money for hospital charity to look after other kids. You see his house, and it's got a massive manger, St. Mary, St. Joseph, the baby Jesus, the wise men, and the glowing cross on the top. And I said, what about the neighbours? He said, we get people who are non-Christian in that area who come to me with donations and donate money for the cause. They tell me how much they love these decorations. They give us lolly bags to hand out to the kids as they walk in. And this year we collected $10,000 in coins to give to the hospital. This is a man who was spoken to by God. He looked at it, it was divine. And he decided for the rest of his life, he was going to dedicate his life to do something about it. This is what we mean by acting. He was completely at peace. You see, his face is completely peaceful. And he said, this is an opportunity also to preach Christianity to those who don't know. How did he do this? Through a life of silence and through understanding the will of God. The 3 points to summarize. We must make time for God because he loves us incredibly and we love him. 2, remove all distraction. And 3, speak to God daily. And glory be to God.